Much like a picture of a loved one, so too the Word of God is that wonderful picture of our elder brother, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll learn about him next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us, won't you? On behalf of United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Each day we come to you for a few minutes with a brilliant look at God's Word. And today, it's our hope and prayer that you come away with a new and fresh view of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the preaching, teaching, and study of God's Word. Won't you join us with this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's our teacher and pastor now, Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in to this Friday session, and we are thankful that you have joined us. I am here with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff, the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. I am Pastor Chris Gordon. We're thankful on these Friday sessions to bring these programs to you that we might be better instructed in the Christian faith and understand what our Lord has given us in His powerful Word, which are the words of life. Well, today we thought we would take up the subject, and the great question, is your church a true church or a false church? Now, immediately that raises all sorts of eyebrows, because we're told today not to say that anything is true or false or anything. Everything is relative. Everything is whatever you believe to be true. But the Bible has outlined for us marks by which we can identify whether a church is faithful or whether a church is unfaithful. And we have to think through these issues. And maybe, Wes, today you could start by outlining for us, at least in classic Protestantism, what have been the marks that we could identify? If I walked into a given church, what would be the marks that I would look for to identify whether the church is true or false?
Well, Chris, the first and most important mark of a true church is the pure preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're in a church where the Bible is being opened, where the Bible is being read, where the Bible is being exposited, where you're hearing the preaching of Jesus Christ every Sunday, rather than just principles for better living or good advice or what have you, then you can know that you are in a true church with regards to this first mark. So the first mark is the pure preaching of the Word of God. The second, then, is the pure administration of the sacraments. So you want to be in a church where baptism is administered according to the Word of God. You want to be in a church where the Lord's Supper is also administered according to the Word of God, where the holiness of the sacrament is respected by the congregation and by the leadership of the congregation. And then finally, the third mark of the true church is the administration of church discipline. And I think this is a place where many churches struggle today, and even many churches don't even practice church discipline anymore. And, you know, you have to be in a church where, quite bluntly, they love you enough to kick you out. They love you enough that, you know, if you are going astray, if you are departing from the gospel, if you're not living a Christian life, if your life is not showing the fruit of faith, that the church is willing to excommunicate you, and that they're willing to put you under discipline and in an effort to bring you back because they love you and care for you.
Right. And, you know, I was thinking of something that the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15. He's talking about the last days, the things that are going to happen. But he makes this very powerful statement that there are going to be those who are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, who have a form of godliness but deny its power. So things can have a form of godliness but deny the power. And what we're essentially asking today when we look at what are the marks of a faithful church, we're looking at those things that the Lord has put in place where He has put His power and has promised to bless. The Lord uses means to advance His truth and to advance His church and the cause of Jesus Christ. And we're looking at those things specifically that He has put in place that He has decided to honor by which we may know. You know, the sky is not the limit in what we can do in church. The sky is not the limit in the things that should go on in church. He's defined that very carefully and with great detail for us in His Word. And Wes highlighted that first mark, and maybe we could go through these a little more in detail here. Mm-hmm. The first mark is the pure preaching of the Word, the pure preaching of the gospel. And that's exactly what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. that there will be the season that's going to come where they won't endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they'll heap up for themselves teachers and turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. One of the great truths, and this is where it all comes, that we are called to preach the word in season, out of season. That's what the Lord calls us to do. And that, you know, I could walk into a given church, Wes, on a Sunday, and in 2 minutes, I could tell you whether that minister has wrestled through a text and has come to bring to bear on the people's conscience the word of God, or has come to do and advance his own agendas.
That's right. No, I think it's crucially important, and we've said this before on the program. Listen, friends, if you're in a church where the Bible is never even opened, you know, you've got a church that has a problem. And quite honestly, the Word of God has to be central. It has to be open from the beginning of the worship service to the end. Everything has to revolve around the Word of God. And that includes also the songs that are sung in the worship service. That includes every element of the worship service. It all has to be Word-focused and Word-centered. And if it is Word-centered and Word-focused, then it will also be Christ-centered and Christ-focused, because Christ is the one of whom the scriptures speak. The entire Bible from front to back is about Jesus Christ. So if you're going to be in a Christ-centered, gospel-centered church, you need to be in a word-centered church.
Right. And you know, when Wes talks about the word opened, if it's not open, well, sometimes what happens is that, you know, Wes, the word is opened and the Bible is used as sort of a giant fortune cookie where I'm going to open the fortune cookie and pull out one verse and then make it mean about whatever I want to make it mean. So this week we're going to talk about this. Here's one Bible verse. And right. Then we're a launch pad into the pastor's agenda. That's not the preaching of the word. The preaching of the word and gospel takes into the whole context, the redemptive historical place of how it shows us Christ. And all these things have to be taken into account.
No, that's a good point, Chris, because I'm reminded of this one minister who once preached on Matthew 22 about the summary of the commandments. The Lord Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And this particular minister preached on the words, hang all the law and the prophets. And he said he didn't like the Old Testament, so that was his text.
Well,
that's an abuse.
That's pastoral abuse to the text and to the people. Interesting. Yeah, but I think that's exactly the kind of point we're raising here, is that see how the Bible can be misused. There's a great principle of Bible interpretation. Scripture interprets Scripture. When something is preached, it has to fit the whole counsel of God.
Yeah.
We're not pulling out and bringing separate doctrines, our own ideas to the people about having your best life now.
Right. It all has to be brought back to Jesus Christ. An application of scripture text comes out of Christ, comes out of our union with Christ, looking at how every piece of scripture fits in God's plan of redemption in Christ.
Now, the second mark we talk about is the administration of the sacraments. Now, sacraments is sort of a dirty word today. Everyone immediately seems to associate that with Roman Catholicism. And what a lot of churches have done have tried to remove the formalism even of the idea or notion of sacrament and go out to the ocean, go out and have personal communion, these sort of things. But the Lord did institute two sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that we not live in fear of associating this with sort of dead formalism. These are blessings the Lord has given to nourish and strengthen the faith of his saints.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think if we look through the New Testament, we do find ample evidence of the New Testament church celebrating the sacraments, embracing the sacraments, but also, and sadly, abusing the sacraments. And I think one of the most obvious examples is in 1 Corinthians 11, where we read about the Corinthian church not taking the holiness of the Lord's Supper very seriously. And there are people who are living in sin, taking part in the sacrament, and the church suffered for it. The church, it says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. And of course, sleep is euphemistic for dead. People have died because they were abusing the Lord's Supper in Corinth. And so I think with those words, we're reminded how important it is to take these sacraments seriously, to respect the holiness of these sacraments. And then that also ties into the next thing we want to talk about, which is church discipline.
Right. And you know, Wes made a point a minute ago, and Wes, this is really important that people understand. When we discipline, you know, immediately everyone associates discipline, even the word excommunication. I mean, that just has so much baggage with it that we fear it's cruel and unloving. But the most cruel and unloving thing a church could do is to say, come on in. We don't care about your lifestyle. We don't care how you live. We're just glad you're here. Actually, that's the most damaging thing for one soul. The greatest act of love is to say, we're going to shepherd you. We're going to be committed to you. And we're going to ensure that your life is godly.
Right. And that comes back to the whole idea of shepherding. You know, if a shepherd is taking care of his flock of sheep, and one of those sheep is heading in a dangerous direction towards the wolves, if one of those sheep is headed towards a cliff, the shepherd goes after him. The shepherd goes after that sheep to bring the sheep back to the safety of the sheepfold. And parents do the same thing with their children. They love their children, and so they discipline them. They take care of them, not because they hate them or have it in for them, but for the very reason that they love them and want them to go the right way.
And let me just say, you know, this just brings up another point here that, you know, when churches get so large, and we're so obsessed with size today, we think size is everything and number is everything. When they get so large, you cannot effectively tend to this calling to exercise oversight and care over the people, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think we need to go back to this idea of the church as a family of people who look after one another, who take care of one another, who watch out for one another. And discipline then doesn't begin with the leadership of the church. It begins within the congregation with believers watching out for one another. And that's the clear teaching of our Lord Jesus in Matthew 18.
So we've heard the three marks of a faithful church. And you should ask yourself, am I sitting in a church that exemplifies and demonstrates these marks? The pure preaching of the gospel, the right administration of the sacraments, and church discipline. Those are the things that Jesus clearly taught us in the New Testament that identify the marks of a faithful church. There will be certain churches that are, as the Westminster Confession says, more and less pure. But ultimately, at the end of the day, our churches all should be aimed for glorifying God in the things that He has called us to do. So we pray that is the case in your church, that these things are occurring. And as you have heard this today, may we all reflect and think upon the goodness of our Lord that He has given us a church home. Until another edition, may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com. Find out a bit more about us. Take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.